right, it's now time for another edition of Common Sense Political Correctness. Is there such a thing as common sense? Well, I doubt there is, and I think there's many people that think exactly the same. Stay tuned. Hi, I'm Keith Powell. Words. That is the topic for today's program, words. How do you spell words? W-O-R-D-S. It's very, very simple. But we have seen, especially in the last maybe, especially 5 years, people that I like to call the language police. You see them all the time across many different social media platforms. Facebook, Twitter are the two most common ones to find this particular group of people. What are the language police? In case you're not quite clear on what they are, well, they are a group of people that, for some reason, get extremely outraged if somebody uses certain words. Now, I could sit here and start naming them, but honestly, there just isn't enough time in the day to go through every single one that the hypersensitive, the millennials especially, the ones who always need a safe space, get very upset about. Words. Now, this is something, of course, that we could have seen coming. Now, to put this in a little bit of perspective and to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, I first want to go to the legendary comedian George Carlin with a piece that he did a number of years ago. Of course, George Carlin is no longer with us. It's a shame, though, because I would love to see what he would be saying now in 2018. But this is from, well, a few years back, actually, where it went from being crazy to the situation where it is now. This is a monologue that is just entitled Euthanisms. Here's George Carlin.
There's a condition in combat, most people know about it. It's when a fighting person's nervous system has been stressed to its absolute peak and maximum, can't take any more input. The nervous system has either snapped or is about to snap. In the First World War, that condition was called shell shock. Simple, honest, direct language. Two syllables. Shell shock. Almost sounds like the guns themselves. That was 70 years ago. Then a whole generation went by, and the Second World War came along, and the very same combat condition was called battle fatigue. Four syllables now. Takes a little longer to say. Doesn't seem to hurt as much. Fatigue is a nicer word than shock. Shell shock. Battle fatigue. Then we had the war in Korea, 1950. Madison Avenue was riding high by that time. And the very same combat condition was called operational exhaustion. Hey, we're up to eight syllables now. And the humanity has been squeezed completely out of the phrase. It's totally sterile now. Operational exhaustion. Sounds like something that might happen to your car. Then, of course, came the war in Vietnam, which has only been over for about 16 or 17 years. And thanks to the lies and deceit surrounding that war, I guess it's no surprise that the very same condition was called post-traumatic stress disorder. Still eight syllables, but we've added a hyphen. And the pain is completely buried under jargon. Post-traumatic stress disorder. I'll bet you, if we'd have still been calling it shell shock, some of those Vietnam veterans might have gotten the attention they needed at the time. I'll bet you that. I'll bet you that. But But it didn't happen. And one of the reasons is because we were using that soft language, that language that takes the life out of life. And it is a function of time. It does keep getting worse. I'll give you another example. Sometime during my life, toilet paper became bathroom tissue. I wasn't notified of this. No one asked me if I agreed with it. It just happened. Toilet paper became bathroom tissue. Sneakers became running shoes. False teeth became dental appliances. Medicine became medication. Information became directory assistance. The dump became the landfill. Car crashes became automobile accidents. Partly cloudy became partly sunny. Motels became motor lodges. House trailers became mobile homes. Used cars became previously owned transportation. Room service became guest room dining. And constipation became occasional irregularity. When I was a little kid, if I got sick, they wanted me to go to the hospital and see the doctor. Now they want me to go to a health maintenance organization or a wellness center to consult a healthcare delivery professional. Poor people used to live in slums. Now the economically disadvantaged occupy substandard housing in the inner cities. And they're broke. They're broke. They don't have a negative cash flow position. F***ing broke. Because a lot of them were fired. You know, fired. Management wanted to curtail redundancies in the human resources area. So many people are no longer viable members of the workforce. Smug, greedy, well-fed white people have invented a language to conceal their sins. It's as simple as that. The CIA doesn't kill anybody anymore. They neutralize people. Or they depopulate the area. The government doesn't lie and engages in disinformation. The Pentagon actually measures nuclear radiation in something they call sunshine units. Israeli murderers are called commandos. Arab commandos are called terrorists. Contra killers are called freedom fighters. Well, if crime fighters fight crime and firefighters fight fire, what do freedom fighters fight? They never mention that part of it to us, do they? Never mention that part of it. And some of this stuff is just silly. We all know that. Like on the airlines, they say they want a pre-board. Well, what the hell is pre-board? What does that mean? To get on before you get on? They say they're going to pre-board those passengers in need of special assistance. Cripples! Simple, honest, direct language. There's no shame attached to the word cripple that I can find in any dictionary. No shame attached to it. In fact, it's a word used in Bible translations. Jesus healed the cripples. Doesn't take seven words to describe that condition. But we don't have any cripples in this country anymore. We have the physically challenged. Is that a grotesque enough evasion for you? How about differently abled? I've heard them called that, differently abled. You can't even call these people handicapped anymore. They'll say, we're not handicapped, we're handicapable. These poor people have been bullshitted by the system into believing that if you change the name of the condition, somehow you'll change the condition. Well, hey, cousin, doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. We have no more deaf people in this country, hearing impaired. No one's blind anymore, partially sighted or visually impaired. We have no more stupid people. Everybody has a learning disorder. Or he's minimally exceptional. How would you like to be told that about your child? He's minimally exceptional. Oh, thank God for that. Psychologists actually have started calling ugly people those with severe appearance deficits. It's getting so bad that any day now I expect to hear a rape victim referred to as an unwilling sperm recipient. And we have no more old people in this country. No more old people. We shipped them all away and we brought in these senior citizens. Isn't that a typically American 20th century phrase? Bloodless, lifeless. No pulse in one of them. A senior citizen. But I've accepted that one. I've come to terms with it. I know it's here to stay. We'll never get rid of it. That's what they're going to be called, so I'll relax on that. But the one I do resist, the one I keep resisting, is when they look at an old guy and they'll say, look at him, Dan. He's 90 years young. Imagine the fear of aging that reveals. To not even be able to use the word old to describe someone, to have to use an antonym. And fear of aging is natural, it's universal, isn't it? We all have that. No one wants to get old, no one wants to die, but we do. So we bullshit ourselves. I started bullshitting myself when I got to my 40s. Soon as I was in my 40s, I'd look in the mirror and I'd say, well, I guess I'm getting older. Older sounds a little better than old, doesn't it? Sounds like it might even last a little longer. Bullshit, I'm getting old. And it's okay, because thanks to our fear of death in this country, I won't have to die. I'll pass away. Or I'll expire like a magazine subscription. If it happens in the hospital, they'll call it a terminal episode. The insurance company will refer to it as negative patient care outcome. And if it's the result of malpractice, they'll say it was a therapeutic misadventure. I'm telling you, some of this language makes me want to vomit. Well, maybe not vomit. Makes me want to engage in an involuntary personal protein spill.
The legendary George Carlin with a monologue called Euthanism. Now, despite the fact that that came out actually many years ago, because George hasn't been with us for a number of years, there's a lot of truth in what he says. Now, people say, well, that's comedy. That's not the real world. Well, actually, comedy is a reflection of the real world. Now, as I said, today we're talking about words, right? Now, let me read for you something right now. In a democracy, recognition matters. Everyone wants to be seen as who they are. If they are not, then it's impossible for them to enjoy the experience of being full citizens. That is from Melissa Harris Perry. And that's part of a document that was published in 2015. Now, let's go back a little bit so I can give you a little bit of explanation about today's program. Like I said, it's about words. Now, the University of New Hampshire published in 2015 on their website something called Inclusive Excellence, Bias-Free Language Guide. It should be noted that only a few weeks after they posted this 8-page document on their website, it was promptly taken down because of criticism, not just from the left, but also from the right, and for people that are in the middle, because it is completely insane. But yet, if you go to the University of New Hampshire, to their student union building, you can actually still get a copy. Now, as I mentioned before, this document was taken down from their website. So I actually sent an email to the head of public relations for the University of New Hampshire, who was more than willing to send me a copy until she realized that I was the media. At that point, she promptly said, no, we don't send this to media. This is only for students. So sadly, I had to use one of my intelligence operatives. I like the word. It sounds very pretentious, right? Operatives. So I had to use one of my operatives, you see, to actually contact the University of New Hampshire and get a copy in person. They promptly scanned it to me and sent it along. Now, this bias-free language guide is, well, how would I put it? It is beyond political correctness. Now, let me say one thing in the defense of political correctness. What may have started off as a fantastic idea, a great idea, just ends there. It was an idea. It does sound good. Actually, you know, to be kinder to one another. That I am in total support of. But when it comes to things such as inclusive language and coming up with new words and new definitions of things that really don't exist, well, talk about, you know, splitting people. That's all it really does. Now, this document called Biased Free Language Guide from the University of New Hampshire is... Okay, well, let's... How about we just go into it? Now, we heard George Carlin there a moment ago talking about certain things, okay? So, for example, he mentioned senior citizens and old people, right? Senior citizens, old people, seniors, and elders can no longer be used as per the University of New Hampshire. Instead, they prefer people of advanced age. People of advanced age. And like he says, it just sounds nicer. Well, you know what? Old people are old people. They're not young people. You know, it's like, for example, when I watch TV shows and they always say to maybe some well-known personality, actor, comedian or whatever, how old are you now? And they go, I'm 85 or 90. And everybody applauds in the audience. John Cleese said it best. He loves getting the applause. He always says, what, you're applauding that I'm still alive? Right, okay. It'd be funny if I just keel over right now, right? So it is kind of silly. Now, let's actually stay on to the following subjects of age, class, and size, okay? Poor person. Or person from the ghetto. No, 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 no. Listen to what they said, what they say you should say. Person who lacks advantages that others have. Okay? Low economic status related to the person's education. Okay? Occupation and income. Well, wait a second. If you're a poor person or somebody living in the ghetto, what is your occupation and what is your income? I'm sorry, but that really is completely nuts. Poverty stricken. No, we cannot say poverty stricken anymore. We have to say person living at or below the poverty line or a person experiencing poverty. The thing is, when I read this, I'm like, nobody can, you know, make this up. Now, of course, there's a lot of jokes about people that are on welfare. Now, I grant it, welfare is a very useful social service, and I am for it. But we know there are some, not a lot, but there are some that do take advantage of the system. This happens everywhere, right? Now, people would very often refer to these people as welfare queens. No, not anymore. No, 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 no. Person using welfare. A simple word, rich. I am very rich. You are very rich. We are very rich. No, that is out of the question. Out of the question. It's now person of material wealth. Now, this is my favorite. Fat people. Right? We used to say fat people. Now, fat people does sound a little crude. It's something, of course, that we would not say if we want to be civilized. If you want to insult somebody, you say they're fat. There's certain people who I do refer to as fat. Right? But in a civilized world, we would say either obese or overweight people. No, we can't say that anymore. No, 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 no. Instead, we have to say people of size. Now, a lot of people refer to, especially those living in the United States, as being rather large. Large. Or in some cases, just plain fat. Now, of course, there is all kinds of reasons for somebody being large. There are cases, of course, where it is a medical situation and actually has nothing really to do with what they're eating. It could be an issue with mental health. It could be an issue that they're just maybe stuffing themselves too much. If it's a mental health issue, I'm not going to say they're fat. They are overweight or obese. But people of size? I mean, people of size could be anything. Now, to illustrate what I mean, I am not exactly a small person. I am the first person to admit that. But you know what? When I visited the United States, the last time I went to the U.S., I always tell people, I may not be skinny, I may not be small, but in the U.S., I felt like I was anorexic. Oh, I made a joke about anorexia. We can't do that now, can we? Yes. So, this whole thing, people of size? Ay, 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 ay. And yes, this is CSPC, Common Sense Political Correctness, Program 2, for this, the 7th of November, 2018, and that is the date and release of the second program. Today, we are talking about words. In particular, a document that was published by the University of New Hampshire in 2015 that they posted on their website and then promptly took it down, but is still available to students at the University of New Hampshire, entitled Bias-Free Language Guide. Okay, let's get into some of the others that we can no longer say because they've come up with a whole new language for these words. Now, I'm trying to be as clean as possible because there are certain words I would love to use. Really, I would. But since this program is broadcast, of course, I can't. But if you can figure out what they are, you can send me an email, pcjmedia@gmail.com. All right, let's get into ability and disability status words. All right, now, normal, able-bodied, healthy, or whole. No, we cannot use that anymore. The new preferred word is non-disabled. A person who is blind, a blind person, a person who is blind, or a person who is visually impaired. Deaf person, a person who is deaf or hard of hearing. A person who is dumb or cannot speak, a person with a speech impairment. Somebody who is slow, retarded. Now, retard, of course, you can use that in a negative way because it can sound negative, right? A guy's a retard. Of course, if you're referring to somebody who is, it is negative. But if I turn to my dogs and say, they're really retards, or some friends of mine go, they're so drunk out of their mind, they're retards. It's not an offensive word, all right? But we can't use that anymore. Or brain damaged or special education student. No, a person who is learning disabled or person with a learning disability. Mentally ill. Psycho, crazy, insane, wacko, nuts. No, no, no. Person with a psychiatric disability. Or people with mental health condition. It's silly, isn't it? It is completely bonkers. Something we can no longer say now is somebody, well, living with somebody who has AIDS or cancer. No. No, 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 no. Living with a specific disability. Well, what is the disability? Is it AIDS? Is it cancer? Is it MS? What the hell is it already? Midget or dwarf. Someone with short stature or little person. Well, that's the... doesn't really bother me so much, but dwarf and midget, you know, I interviewed a few dwarfs and midget in my lifetime, and they even refer to themselves as dwarfs and midget and really don't have any problem with it. Now let's move on to, this is a touchy one, So I forewarn you, if you think that you are easily offended, I would suggest you stop listening now. Because some of what I might say might offend some people. There's two types of people who get offended. There's people who are genuinely offended for whatever reason. And then those who, well, like to, you know, get offended just for the sake of getting offended. I remember one time a controller at BBC television saying, some people deserve to be offended. And that is true. Now, here's an interesting one. Now, I bring up this in this section because this is about, so tune away if you don't want to hear it. I'll tell you right now, race, ethnicity, culture, and immigration status. Now, this is one that I definitely want to get into. Now, you may remember the World Cup, where France won the World Cup. And a certain individual in the United States who hosts a program called The Daily Show, you know who I mean, went into this tirade about how these players are not French, they're African. Of course, they got a very strong response from the French ambassador to the United States, as well as members of the French national team. The members of the French national team may have been from African descent, but as they, to quote them, and this is a direct translation from their tweet in French, "I am not African, I am French. My parents just happened to be from Africa. From a young age, I sang the French national anthem and proudly wore the colors of France. To take away my Frenchness is an insult." Now, this is something, of course, that Americans quite don't understand. Especially when, well, for example, they don't like the word black anymore. They prefer the word African American. Well, if you speak to immigrants who move to the United States from various African countries, they will refer to themselves as African Americans because they are Africans who immigrated to the United States. But if you're black and you're from California or Vermont or the Midwest, you are American. You are not African, and you have maybe your African origin, right? Many people are. But you're not African. You are American. So get off the high horse on that one. You can go to various countries around the world. I've never heard anybody say I'm Canadian African, or I'm Dutch African, or I'm English African, or Australian African, or New Zealand African, or French African, or Russian African, or Danish African, or Belgian African, or Norwegian African. Unless they are a new arrival in that country, either through being an asylum seeker or having to immigrate to that country. And it's a little bit insulting, I think, when you say that towards people that have. You are American, and that's it. Now, another one that people get upset about, especially in certain sectors of, especially U.S. society, is the term American. And well, it is a little funny because technically, Canada, the U.S., Mexico, the rest of Latin America, of course, are made up of countries that are from the Americas. You have South America and North America. So if you want to be more specific, I suppose you can say U.S. citizen or resident of the United States. There's nothing too wrong with that. Now, Caucasian people. No. They don't like that. They prefer, and this is my favorite on this section of the list, European American individuals. European-American individuals already? What's wrong with saying Caucasian people? Foreigners. Oh, no, no. Cannot say foreigners. No, 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 no. International people. So, I am not a foreigner. No, I'm an international person. Now, I've been in Taiwan for a number of years, and if somebody ever referred to me as an international person, I'd probably thump them, because that just sounds stupid. Foreigners, international people, really. Illegal alien. Now, this is a touchy issue. This is something, of course, that is, well, a hotbed for arguments and discussions. You cannot say illegal alien. The most common ones now are undocumented. Yeah, not so bad. People seeking asylum and or refugee. Yes, but what if they're not seeking asylum or they are a refugee? They're undocumented? Not so bad. But legal alien? Oh, really. Now, these are completely nuts. And I mean, this list goes on. I've counted so far on this list 30. And I just went through some of them. I suppose we could go through all 30, but you know what? We would be here forever. And you are listening to Common Sense Political Correctness from PCJ Radio International, Program 2. Okay, snowflakes, are you ready to continue? And today we are talking about words and euphemisms and terms that, of course, the PC police and the language police have started cracking down on. Well, no, they've been cracking down on it for a while. But it's going to, to a point of complete madness. Now, let's move on to sexual orientation and gender identity. Now, there used to be a time maybe you could walk in a room and say, "Hey, guys, how you doing?" Even when there's women there. No. Can't do that. You have to say, "Hi, folks." Or, "Hi, people." Or, "Hi, y'all." "Hi, folks." "Hi there, folks. My name's Gomer Pyle. We're going to do a great big shindig tonight." And people. Girls. No. Women. There's nothing wrong. Even in some cases, not too long ago, somebody got on the case of somebody who said Carrie Fisher was a beautiful woman, and he had to apologize. Manpower. No, workforce. Personnel. Workers. Man's achievement. When we say man's achievement was putting somebody on the moon. No, human achievement. The average man in the street. People in general. Chairman. Moderator. Chairperson. Chair. Discussion leader. Freshmen, first-year students. I mean, it's coming to the point where we won't be able to say dictionary anymore. Because, you know, dick is masculine, you know. Secretary. Professor. Supervisor. No, 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 no. They don't like that. They don't like secretary. They prefer personal assistant. Foreman, policeman, stewardess, housewife, mailman, supervisor, police officer, flight attendant, homemaker, postal worker, or mail carrier. Wait, you're talking about the post office, maybe going postal. Oh, no, we can't say that. That's an insult to postal workers. I mean, really, are people just so hung up about it? Now, you may find that there are certain people that have been, let's say, protesting against department stores in their children's section because they will have the boys' toys and the girls' toys, and they think they should just all mix them up. Spoiler alert, on a test that has been done on a number of children, boys and girls, in various different countries, have discovered that boys will go after the toys for boys, and girls will go after the toys for girls nearly 99% of the time, even when they were mixed up. Okay? Mothering, fathering. Oh, no, that's out of date. That's completely out of date. We can say nurturing or parenting. Ay, ay, ay. Opposite sex, other sex. Really? Are you serious? Real gender, a real girl or a real boy. You can say affirmed gender. I mean, this list doesn't sound like it is real. When I first heard about this and finally got a copy sent to me, I didn't really believe it until I actually managed to get a copy, and the public relations person at the University of New Hampshire confirmed that, yes, that's true. Gay. No, cannot say gay anymore. No. Can say emotional connection with those of the same sex. Okay, you know what? Try to say that a few times after a few vodka martinis. I mean, this is just... oh, it is just nuts. It is just nuts. You know, and the sad thing is, there's a whole generation now of people that we have out there that are falling for this. Usually a group of university students of a certain type, I like to call them the great unwashed. And I will explain that on another program. But there's a certain type that will love using these words. Now, just to talk about how hypersensitive people have become. Oh, I forgot. This is another one, favorite one of mine here. Homosexual. No. It's an SGL. Same gender loving. What? You know what word I'm going to use. I'm not going to say it, much as I would love to. Mind you, I think we should have two versions of this program. One for broadcast purposes, and then, of course, one that will strictly air on the internet. Now, this whole thing goes to show how crazy things have become. Bill Maher, who recently celebrated his 25th anniversary on television, first with the series Politically Incorrect that was on ABC, and then more recently, Real Time, which is on HBO, that is seen every Friday night. He did a segment that was called Explaining Jokes to Idiots. He did a few of them. Also part of his new rules. But this is one that I definitely want to play for you. Now, I'm going to tell you beforehand, if you get offended by certain words and language, tune away now.
And finally, new rule, we can give up teaching geography, grammar, and math. Those are pretty hard. But Americans have got to learn how to take a joke. A few months ago, we introduced a segment called Explaining Jokes to Idiots. And I'd like to bring it back tonight for the benefit of the Spike TV network, which last night aired its Guy's Choice Awards and censored a joke delivered by Clint Eastwood. But we were able to obtain the footage of the joke that was too intense for America to hear. Watch your monitors. Dwayne The Rock Johnson isn't the first athlete who's gone into acting. There's also Jim Brown and Caitlin somebody. All right, so we didn't get the footage, but that is exactly the line that they cut. Why? Is Caitlin the new C word? We can't even say it in a joke? And this was on a male network that thinks of itself as macho. But you know, guys, just because you have balls doesn't mean you have balls. So, You know, what is so worrisome about this new brand of censorship is it doesn't care if something is actually offensive. That joke was not an insult. Not in any way was it a remark that demeans Caitlyn's journey or would make her Adam's apple grow back. It's just certain words that set people off. This is what Jerry Seinfeld was complaining about last week when he said college audiences just want to use these words. That's racist. That's sexist. That's prejudice. They don't even know what they're talking about. An opinion echoed by Chris Rock, who said he stopped playing colleges because of their unwillingness to offend anybody. And Larry the Cable Guy concurs. He said, it really is a shame that nobody can handle comedy anymore. You know, when Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld, and Larry the Cable Guy say you have a stick up your ass, you don't have to wait for the x-rays to come back. That's right, a black, a Jew, and a redneck walk onto a college campus, and they all can't wait to leave. One undergrad from San Diego actually wrote Jerry an open letter on the Huffington Post to help him, Jerry Seinfeld, better understand how comedy works. Now, I sure wouldn't want to be judged by what I wrote at 20, but stupid though I was in 1976, I wouldn't have presumed to lecture George Carlin on comedy, though I... I sure wish George was around today to write a letter back to this kid, as only he could. But since he can't, allow me. Dear you little shit. I'm sure you're busy with your new letter explaining astrophysics to Stephen Hawking. And giving jump shot pointers to Steph Curry, but try to get a clue. In the same letter, this kid cited Amy Schumer as a comic who's edgy, but without indulging in harmful stereotypes. Okay, but what about her line, I used to date Hispanic guys, but now I prefer consensual. Now, I love that joke because no matter what Trump says, I don't think of Latino men as rapists. It's just funny because it's exaggerating the fact that Latinos, like almost all men except white guys, are more aggressive when they hit on women, which lots of... which lots of chicks like. So preef on that one. See, the PC police aren't saying you can't make jokes. You just can't make them about a protected species. Jokes about men? Yes. Gay men? No. Kim Kardashian's ass? Yes. Her stepfather's tits? No. If someone on the internet expresses the wrong views about gays, women, or Jews, they're subject to endless shaming, unless they're Muslim, in which case all that intolerance is a cultural difference which we just have to tolerate. Because, of course, it's a religion of peace. There's a piece of you there, there's a piece of you there. And now let me explain why that joke is perfectly okay. Because everyone gets made fun of for something, and it's never 100% fair. If I make a, and the French surrendered joke, everyone laughs. Even though the French haven't surrendered in every war, in fact, mostly in just the one, but it was kind of an important one, so they have to own it. If I make a supermodel threw up her food joke, everyone laughs, and certainly not all supermodels are bulimics, but more than plumbers. If I make a joke about how all Asians are bad drivers, well, that one's true. No. It's not, but a little bit, so we laugh. As we should when someone makes a Muslims blow shit up joke, which they have to own because they do it more than anybody else, with the possible exception of the U.S. military. All right.
Taken from Real Time with Bill Maher. Bill Maher and explaining jokes to idiots. Same with language. We have to explain it to idiots. The thing that always makes me laugh at length is when I hear these people going, oh, I need a safe space. Oh, that word offends me. Oh, piss off. Really, grow a pair. Oh, you see, can't even say that anymore. The feminazis will probably get upset. Like I said, dictionary. Can't say dictionary anymore. Now, it reminds me of a story that happened a number of years ago. Some of you may be familiar with the long-running BBC comedy series, Are You Being Served? The star character of the show was Mr. Humphreys, played by the brilliant John Inman. Now, John Inman was gay. Mr. Humphreys was very gay. I mean, really gay. You could put him inside a room surrounded by lead, and you go, ah, the puff is inside, you know? Now, the thing about that, what's very funny, is to show you actually it kind of started earlier than we may think. This whole thing about PC and language actually goes back quite some ways. But it really didn't take hold until perhaps 5 or 10 years ago. But when John Inman was portraying Mr. Humphreys on Are You Being Served, there were certain gay groups that were protesting against him and found his character and portrayal of Mr. Humphreys stereotypical and unjust. Now, I have worked in shops before. Even John Inman worked in shops before. Austin Reed, a chain which is no longer with us. I can say there were Mr. Humphreyses. He even said there were people exactly like that. You can go to any department store today, anywhere in the world, and you will find at least one or two Mr. Humphreys-type characters. Yes, it's a stereotype. Not everybody is like that. But you know what? There are a lot that are already. I mean, Christ, I'm gay. That doesn't even offend me. You know what offends me? Is the people who get... No, well, I'm not going to say it. Yeah, the people who get offended by it are the people that offend me. Who the... are you to take some cause that you, of something you know absolutely nothing about? Absolutely nothing about. I mean, this just goes to show at how stupid a society... Oh, no, we can't say stupid. Sorry. No. Learning challenged society that we have become. Now, there are many people out there who I don't like what they say. Let's just choose one off the top of our heads. I mean, there are many. And no, it's not the elephant in the room. Like I said last week, it was the only time that we would mention him. It's another person by the name of Alex Jones, who has the InfoWars website. Now, there are many claims that Alex Jones makes. He offends many people. I disagree with everything that he stands for and everything that he says. Now, there was a whole controversy around him when he said that Sandy Hook was an inside job and it was all actors and everything else. And these people managed to push him off Twitter, Facebook, and also YouTube. Now, you know what? He's nuts. He's crazy. But I would stand beside him and show my support for his right to say what he wants to say, even if it offends little snowflakes or a whole group of people. This is what you do. If somebody offends you, you walk away. If somebody offends you online, what do? Turn away. Go to a new page. Go to a new link. unfriend them on Facebook. Do anything. But no, you sit there. These certain people, this is really for them. You sit there and you just go after them, nag, 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 because they offend you. Well, you know what? This is a very dangerous slope. Somebody like Alex Jones, who I think is a nutcase, and I disagree with everything he says, but he has the right to say it. Just like you have the right to disagree with him. Just like I have the right to disagree with you and Alex Jones for being fruitcakes. So what's the new message now in today's world? We don't like the message, shut it down. Exactly. That's all it is now. We don't like the message, just shut it down. It's sad. It really is sad that nobody can take criticisms anymore. And we have to protect people from words. Oh, because words hurt. Oh, I'll blow it out your cake hole. You really wonder how these people are going to survive in life. If they're going to be protected from every single little word that will offend them. How are they going to live? Now, there's another guy, and we will be talking about him on a future program. Milo. You know who I mean. Very sexy, by the way. Very cute. But I disagree with everything that he says. Except a lot of what he says actually makes sense. How is that possible? You can disagree with somebody, but as long as you're having the conversation and the debate and you don't shut it down, you can get a better understanding of where they're coming from. But no, we live in the world of shut it down. Shut it down. Now, some on the left may say that I'm pushing some kind of right-wing conspiracy, but you know what? It isn't just the right here, old babies. It's also the left. The right do it just as much as the left. There are snowflakes on either side. As I said, with the creation of this program, it doesn't just go after the left-wing lunatics, but also the right-wing nutcases. Both of you are fruitcakes. You're doing exactly the same thing, pointing fingers at each other, and you're exactly the same. You should agree on that at least. Oh, well, no, they'll find some way to disagree. I mean, this is the thing. Today, it's no longer about debate. It's finding what I want to hear, and everything else is wrong. I mean, we've seen this, of course, with news coverage. There are people that will look up news websites that have no credibility whatsoever, but because it affirms what they believe, they will seek it out and believe it, even when the facts are wrong. A good example of that would be Pizzagate. Do you remember Pizzagate? Where there was a conspiracy that was started online by some nut who said that Hillary Clinton and her people were involved in a pedophilia ring at some pizzeria in the United States, which was totally false, by the way. But guess what happened? Somebody actually believed it and went there. This person didn't fact check. No, they didn't. A standard technique that you actually have online that you see happen very often, especially in the political climate that we are in. Somebody writing, I support whatever it is, 100%, he's absolutely right. But what they said is absolutely wrong. And when you point out to them, if you just go and Google the search, you'll find the true information. They go, I don't have time for that. Why? Because they don't want the truth. They want to believe in their fairy stories. The right does this and the left does this. Now, political correctness and these word changes is a byproduct of that. It truly is. I really wonder if the people that came out with that list that we were discussing on today's program from the University of New Hampshire called Bias-Free Language, I really wonder if at any point somebody went, no, this is, we can't do this. This is just nuts. Did anybody from any faculty at the University of New Hampshire say, this is crazy or this is pathetic? I doubt it. Because we have seen repeatedly professors who dare speak the truth about certain issues be lambasted by students who call them to be fired because the students need a safe space. We disagree with his message. I suspect that there were professors and faculty members that did say, this is crazy, but refused to speak it. And that's sad. It's sad that people now self-censor themselves. Self-censorship. Something that I didn't think we would be doing today in 2018. I have lived in places where people have self-centered. And now the left and the right are doing exactly the same thing. Both sides are nut jobs. My only advice is, you know, if you're reading a story online or watching a video on YouTube, do your research. Do your homework before you post it anywhere on social media as fact. This is how rubbish gets out there. And you know what? The truth is, some words are offensive. But even words that I find offensive, and there are a number, everybody has exactly the same right to say them, just like I do to say words that you may find offensive. That's called freedom. Freedom of speech. Something that many of us uphold, no matter where we live. Freedom and freedom of speech is what we should all stand for. All right, you know what? We are out of time on this edition of Common Sense Political Correctness, CSPC. If you have an idea of something that you would like to hear discussed on this program, let us know. PCJmedia@gmail.com. That's PCJmedia@gmail.com. And for those who are listening to this program on shortwave, we do issue special QSL cards for this program. You can also download it through our Facebook page. Just do a search for PCJ Radio International, like the page, and you will get all the updates, not just for this program, but other programs from PCJ Radio International. There will be a link. You can click on it, download it, do with it what you please. And remember, if something offends you, good. It means you're alive. Take care, everyone. We'll see you soon. Bye.